Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's Home for Sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Yo! Welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With Jesse Rogers in for Cap. Hey, buddy, it's J-Hood.
Good morning, everybody.
It's J-Hood with you. We've got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Tuesday with open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going. Thanks for watching the show and all the shows here at ESPN 1000. How are you, Jess?
I'm doing great, J-Hood. Good to be with you. Holiday week.
Uh-huh.
Couple days before Snowmageddon. I'm sure you're going to be hunkered down in the back cave there, wherever. Uh-huh. And where are you spending Christmas? In town?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Why would I leave?
Well, right. I mean, it's going to be gorgeous here for a couple days, and then all hell's going to break loose. So, good to be with you. And this is Tracy Butler's, you know, big week, so mm-hmm. she better get this right. Mm-hmm. But all hell's breaking loose on Thursday and Friday. I'm actually in with Hanley on Friday, so we'll see if I can make it to the studio. If I can't, we'll do it remotely.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, the big thing today is the Bulls are playing.
Yes, they are.
And I've got a hot take or two on them.
Okay.
Got a hot take or two on soccer.
Okay.
I'm sure you want to get to that soon.
All right.
Hot take or two on the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Everything but my own sport that I cover.
Okay.
I don't really have anything to say about baseball, but I have hot takes on everything else.
All right. Then that leads up to 7:18. Then what else do you have?
Our off-the-air show should have been on-the-air show.
Yes.
We're talking old school because you and I have been together for a long time in this business.
Yes, we have.
And it's always fun to host and be with you. Cap, whatever you're doing, relax. You're in good. The show's in good hands here. In fact, in better hands.
Don't you realize there's no question about that? And I will tell you that why leave? Now, of course, I'm tethered to the city because I got UIC basketball. We play
That's
Northwestern
right, tonight.
So,
yep.
So I'm not going anywhere. But I just the whole thing of leaving during the winter. Man, why do I want to be on a full flight? A craziness at the airport. You think the winter weather is going to be bad here the next couple of days? Well, like the airport's got to be awful. That's why I would never travel. You'll usually off-peak times. That's when I travel.
The 5 a.m. news already is at the airport 2 days before the storm. I'm so with you. I've taken the kids to Florida before during break, but I drive.
Yeah.
I drive. And this year, my wife is like, let's go to New York for Christmas. I'm like,
You're
what's the difference?
Mind?
Let's see the lights. I'm like, Chicago's a big city. We got lights. I'll take you down here on Friday. Well, not this time because of the storm, but I don't want to get on a flight to New York. And then she says the ultimate no, which was, I've never seen the ball drop on New Year's Eve. I'm like, well, we're not going
to
see it this year.
To be made there.
Yeah, here you go. Channel 7.
Exactly. I am not going to Times Square. I didn't work my butt off 50 years to go to Times Square on New Year's Eve with the 20-year-olds. You know, I'm not doing that.
Right.
I'm not doing that. So I said, we're not going to New York. We're not jumping on a plane.
That's right.
And so we're doing nothing this weekend.
So now you're sleeping in the garage because
of
all that.
I mean, she wasn't thrilled about it, but
I told
her we'll go to Cancun next month.
Oh, well, you know what? That's fine because now it's January, right?
Exactly.
Now it's away from the holidays. Mm-hmm. It's off the beaten path. Going January and February. This whole thing where you got to rush out of town. I'm in a world-class city.
And
if I want to see lights, if I want to see attractions during Christmas, I'm here in Chicago. People travel from across the world to come here for Christmas.
I don't know if you're familiar with Willow Hill Golf Course up north. It's built on a landfill, right? It's built on a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And during the winter, they do a light show. It's 2 miles from my house. You want to go see some lights? We'll take a little drive. It's $40 a car. All right. So they do a good show. It's like, you know, I don't need to get on a plane and go to New York to see the same lights.
Yes.
So, yeah. We're going 2 miles down the road for Christmas.
Hon, you want to see some lights? I'll show you some lights. I'll show you some lights. How about these lights right over here?
Oh, my God.
That's exactly how you do it, Jesse. I mean, just the idea that you got just keep running out of town in a city where everyone around the world wants to come to. They want to be able to see what's going on downtown, all the attractions, cities, suburbs. Why am I always running? When I run out of town, okay, it'll be in the spring. Yeah, I figured this out after a few years, too. It's like, well, we've got to go someplace. Let's go to the Bahamas in the summer. Hold on a second. Is it not warm in Chicago?
Right. Yeah, I don't really agree with that.
Why am I leaving in July to go to Myrtle Beach?
Right. That you don't do. You know, you do that when it's still February, March, maybe before, or I guess October, November, whatever.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I'm with you. Anyway, so I'm home all week. You're home all week.
Absolutely.
But this is your last morning. This is the last day of work.
Yeah, this
right?
is my last
That's
day.
That's good.
And
take a few days off.
I want to thank everybody for listening over the years.
100%. Let me say this.
My last day.
I'm going to say this about you and Cap, and he's been doing a little bit longer in the morning. But since you joined in, I mean, morning radio is the toughest thing in our business. I swear to God.
Mm-hmm.
The producers as well, Shay. I mean, you guys get up at 4 a.m. every day. I got up at 3:30 because I was nervous, and I'm going to be dead by 10 a.m., let alone, you know, my wife later, let's go to dinner. I'm like, I've been up since 3. I don't know how you do it.
What were you nervous about, Jesse?
I don't know how you do it every day. So I commend you. You do deserve a few days off. I'm serious. I'm not even making a joke about that.
Why are you we've known each other for almost 30 years. What are you nervous about?
I'm not nervous. What do you mean?
You said that you were that you got to stay.
Oh no, I said yeah. Well, because I'm nervous about oversleeping.
Hey, you are, Cap. You're not even listening to yourself.
I'm nervous. Not about the show. I'm nervous about oversleeping. So when that happens, your brain kind of I know people experience.
Yes.
When you have an early flight, you know you pop up. Same thing when you have to host. I'm just nervous about oversleeping, so I popped up at 3:30.
Yeah.
And I really couldn't go back to sleep. So this is cup number 3 of coffee, and that's why at 7:06 I haven't stopped talking in the last 6 minutes.
Well, I understand. So the early flight thing is always a little tricky too, because you could ask for a wake up call, you could set your phone, but you're still not sure if it's going to be on time. The wake up call, is that something in the past? I mean, depending on the hotel, right?
Yeah, I don't think I've had one in a long time. I mean, the phone is it. I mean, they still have alarm clocks in hotel rooms, which I'm almost surprised at.
50-50.
But I never use it.
50-50 on the alarm clock,
yes,
by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I was in New York when I was working with you last. I was in New York. Fort Lee, New Jersey, actually.
That's right.
Yeah, we didn't stay in New York. We started Fort Lee, New Jersey over the bridge.
Okay.
And that, and of course, it's Eastern time, so I'm a little thrown off. And I'm not sure. So I had my phone. I had asked for a wake-up call, which I never got. And the alarm clock didn't go off.
Ooh.
So thank God the phone worked.
Right.
Cell phone.
Yeah. I mean, if I was on the road doing the show, I'd probably want more than one, you know, thing. But, yeah, wake-up call. I wonder if they even do it.
They still do that, Charlie, the wake-up call?
I think so. I would get them when I would have hockey tournaments, like early hockey games. But yeah. my question is, how many alarms do you set if you have an early flight? Like a 6 a.m. flight. Are you like a 6-alarm guy?
I don't know if you saw the Seinfeld episode where Kramer's like, I got the body clock. I just wake up. That's kind of how I feel. Like, if I have a 6 a.m. flight, obviously I'm setting an alarm. But just like this show, I'll pop up early.
Yeah.
Because it's just on your head when you go to in your head when you go to bed.
Yeah. Like, hey, I can't be late for this.
Right. And so your body wakes you up at like 4 a.m. or whatever the case may be. But I'll set one, really. Yeah. I mean, I don't really have more than one to set.
Now, how about the Jeff Passan alarm? Is that ever set for you when he calls?
Trust me, that ringer is loud for his call. It's been happening a lot lately.
Well, rightfully so,
A lot, yeah. I was on the Zoom with Jameson Taillon yesterday, and my phone's ringing. It's Passan, and I just asked Jameson a question. It's not like I can... Jameson, hold on. I got Passan on the other line.
What? Just step out of there, Passan. You got stuff to do.
So, I mean, I actually said to our bosses in Bristol, I said... I don't know how Jeff does this, because my family is livid with me right now.
Why?
Because of the weekend. Friday, late in the day, Benintendi.
Yeah.
Okay? Saturday, Swanson. Saturday night, Smiley.
Yeah.
Sunday, like, more. You know, if it could happen Monday through Friday, could you please do the signings then? So my wife and kids aren't livid with me. But it was just Friday to Sunday. So, but then my editor's like, well, he just doesn't see his family, Jeff. And I'm like, oh, well... That's not a good solution.
No, it's not.
Jesse, you understand you're talking to two sports radio people who, like, you know, do football all season? I haven't seen my wife in 3 months.
She's better for it, Shay.
and that's the whole thing, right? Before Michelle, could you imagine dealing with someone that didn't understand our schedule? Because news is 24 hours. It's a 24-hour cycle. And you think we have it tough. You know, be the family of Adrian Wojnarowski.
Right. No doubt. Now I'm saying that.
Are you kidding me?
Schefter? I can't believe Passan, Schefter, and Wojnarowski even have families at this point.
Holy cow.
But here's the difference, Shay. I will say, you've got a game tonight. You're busy.
Yep.
But you know that's coming. Your wife knows that's coming.
Yes.
When Andrew Benintendi signs or Swan, that could be any moment, any time. I was at Mike North's house.
Yeah.
Visiting with Mike for the first time in years, and Swanson, the news came out, happened. So I had to pull out my laptop and start writing and get on the phone and all this stuff. So you could be in the middle of your life when it happens, where at least with sports or whatever, games, you know it's coming.
Jesse, write down he's no Larry Boa. Jesse, write this.
He's something like that.
I'm sure it was.
Right.
Write in there he's overpaid.
It was so funny.
I'm sure that's what he was saying.
Yeah, he did start a talk show up about Swanson, no doubt.
So so the whole thing, though, Shay, is that for those newsbreakers like Jesse, like a Passan, like these other guys, it's 24 hours. You can never get a vacation or a pattern because you always have to be available. So, yep. But that's part of the gig, though.
No, right. Yeah, I'm not complaining.
It's part of the gig.
Right. I signed up for it. I love it. It's great. It's fun. It just... My kids didn't sign up for it.
No.
And so they give me crap. So anyway, that's that. Which hot take do you want to start with? Where do you want to go?
Okay, well, there's a lot of things going on here, but I think that one of the things we're going to talk about here this morning in our first hour is talking about the cold weather. You mentioned what Tracy Butler setting up for us, a bad weather Thursday, Friday, and probably Saturday for sure.
Bears.
It's going to be the coldest game that apparently ever. That's what we're getting, right, Shay? The coldest I've seen.
Coldest home Bears game ever?
Yes, it says zero degrees.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the coldest temp at kickoff in Chicago Bears history.
Too bad it's Buffalo. That's the one team that can relate.
Yes. Right, you don't even get the bear weather advantage.
I know. We needed Miami this week.
I was looking at this morning because I was curious what the wind chill might be on Saturday evening. Jess, it was negative 21. To negative 9 was the range that the wind chill will be.
Not bad.
That's Saturday at noon, though, not evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said evening. So Saturday at noon, not if it was a Saturday night game, whoa, that would be cold. But
but you're not expecting the sun, are you? I mean, we rarely see the sun around here these days.
Right. It's going to be snowing, so there won't be any sun.
Saturday is supposed to snow, too?
Well, windy, cloudy, overcast,
so we'll see,
probably snow showers, flurries.
I mean, it'd be great if this game meant something in the standings.
Oh,
it'd
be
like, who can survive it? But it's really like, what's the big deal?
Yeah. I mean, it would be a memorable game if both teams were good in this weather.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Bills would have no problem with it. I'm sure the Bears, it depends. But I want to ask you, and we'll talk about this with you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. What would it take for you to get to Soldier Field on Saturday? Would you go to that game? Now, I have a list of games, cold weather games. I know that you have memories, and I have memories as well, of being in the elements, cold weather games, the coldest that you've ever been at a game. We'll discuss that and more on Cap and Jay Hood.
That's why I see him in the shot. No shot with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With Jesse Rogers in for Cap, I'm Jay Hood. We've got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you. Here until 10 o'clock, there'll be Mike Greenberg from 10 to 12. Right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Now time for Shot or No Shot. And Shay, it's brought to you by...
PointsBet at Club Hawthorne, brought to you by Club Hawthorne, Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Also, while you can sign up at Club Hawthorne, you have a chance to win $12,000 cash on January 1st.
And of course, the Hawthorne app, Charlie, where you could find...
Sweetheart,
where you can find laminitis.
I love you. I want to mount you. Oh, Secretariat, I love a dead horse.
Here's Shay Norling with Shot or No Shot. You think the horse is off because Cap's off, Charlie?
Best athlete ever.
Come on, we still got to trot him out there.
Take that.
Here's Shane Dorling.
I'm out there to get euthanized.
I have no problem with that. No one puts a dead horse on a pedestal like David Kaplan. Is that not true, or am I alone here?
No, it's 100% true.
Okay. Yeah. That's his favorite.
All I do is tell truths around here, whether people like it or not.
That pedestal sounds terrifying.
Well, I mean,
dead horse with it?
Yeah, well, I mean, Cap doesn't mind it. He mounts them all the time. Here's Shane Norman.
I maintain well hung is the biggest draw. The hot takes and columns are once again out there regarding the Bears' usage of Justin Fields. In the Sun-Times this morning, the headline, "For Bears, it's time to make a tank call." This, of course, means it's time to bench Justin Fields, because I read the column. There's, quote, "no meaningful development left to be had in the final three games that will be relevant for next season." Shot or no shot? This is true.
Well, it is a shot that it is true that there's nothing else to prove. From my standpoint, Tommy Waddle on his side of the ledger says it's good to be able to have some time on the field to learn, and he needs the reps. I saw all I needed to see, and now you see more and more wide receivers or weapons around Fields that are injured and not available. So what's he got to prove here? What stats he has to prove? I mean, he's already the leading rusher all time, so what's the point?
I'm going no shot. I don't think there's a point in that. I'm disagreeing with you, Jay Hood. I think every snap is a learning experience. Every defense he faces is a learning experience. Every time he plays against a good team, it's a learning experience, which they have good teams left on their schedule. I don't think you just sit a guy to sit a guy. If he's injured, that's a different story. This is your starting quarterback. He's paid every 2 weeks, I think, to play quarterback.
Yes.
You play quarterback until the end of the season.
Yes. I'm knocking on wood that during that time that there will not be another injury. I mean, you already left with a hamstring. You had to come back like Willis Reed in that game.
You know what's the beautiful thing about having an injury in late December of a season that is not going into the playoffs?
What's that?
You've got months and months and months to recover. That's what football's about.
Yep.
Now, if it's career ender, you can yell at me next week or the week after. But all I know is this guy gets paid. We pay to watch him, those that go. We take our time to watch. He should be playing unless he's hurt.
It's not for us, though. It's up to the individual. So if you're Eberflus, the reason why he's out there now is because the young man wants to play. That's what we keep hearing.
Well, he should want to play. Yeah. He showed he's a competitor. He's healthy. I don't see any point in sitting him right now. None.
But here's the hope. Here's something we haven't talked about, Shay, in this regard. Now, he's a young guy, and he feels like that he could be able to bounce back from any injury. The hope is that with these strings of losses, this does not affect him for the future, meaning that he doesn't lose any confidence, leaking any confidence, because they keep losing games. Like, it would affect me to lose every game, even though I know the bigger picture. But for a young player, you're just like, man, every time I go out there, we can't win a game.
Peyton Manning went 1-15 his rookie season. He's in the Hall of Fame.
I just hope that Fields' mettle is strong enough to realize, like, hey, man, it gets better tomorrow.
Yeah, it seems like it is, yeah. Right?
That's the hope. But that's not that way for everybody, though.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
You know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I mentioned Peyton Manning, the guy drafted right after him. Ryan Leaf couldn't handle it, right?
That's true.
So you're right. It's not, but he seems to be a guy that has that mental fortitude.
Shay.
Cairo Santos had an interesting quote about his woes on extra point attempts. He said he needed a, quote, change of scenery. So he moved the ball to the middle of the field at halftime because he was fighting a, quote, mental bug from the right hash. Shot or no shot? This is the beginning of the end for Santos.
Well, that is a shot. I thought change of scenery meant Cleveland. That's what I meant. When he said change of scenery, I meant like a different uniform, which I'm all for, by the way. That's a shot.
Yeah, I say shot as well. I mean, when you're missing on the easiest portion of what you have to do, you're you know, walking the fence, walking that fine line right away. I mean, I think it's going to tilt the wrong way for him, especially when you're tinkering just on extra points. So, yeah, I say shot.
I agree with Shay yesterday. And, of course, Cap shot it down because it's Shay after all. But the idea that you tell the coach, like, yeah, I can't get this done from 48. What do you mean you can't get it done? Yeah. Try. How about that? Try.
That's just, if I'm a football coach, I need players on my team who, if I go, hey, I need you to do this, the answer is yes, I can do that. I'll get that done.
If you watch the game, Jesse, he gets a sprig of grass and puts it up into the air like, yeah. No, can't do it.
Can't do it.
No, it's 48.
And I apparently can't do the extra point either.
Well, not from the right hash. Got a mental bug. Got to work through some stuff.
Brother, if you got mental hurdles and you're a kicker, I can't use you. Sorry. I'm drafting one. Late. because I'm going to find one.
Really, that's all, unless you're injured, that's the only kind of hurdle that a kicker has is the mental ones.
That's exactly
right. They really don't have physical ones unless they're injured.
Hey, you know, it's, some have mental hurdles and some don't, like our guy Sebastian Janikowski.
Oh, God.
I let that piece of garbage into my home. He did. I'm Mike Nort.
We talked about that the other day.
This is Sebastian Janikowski.
That man could put away his beard, too. Janikowski. Oh, yeah.
You've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been out with him. Holy Absolutely. Cow. Cases of it. He can put away a case of beer without even blinking. It was amazing.
See, that's what you want.
And then he kicked till he's like 45.
Well, see, that's what you want in your kicker, though, right?
Right.
Just like, you know what? Yes, I'm over here on the side. I'm drinking beer. I'm going out. I'm having fun. But still, I'll get the job done when you need me on Sundays, right?
I don't think he's any doubt in my mind. He could drink a case of beer and then go kick a 48-yarder to win a game.
See,
that's mental fortitude.
Now, you see that, Shay? They don't make them like they used to. And it was so controversial at the time. You're a young guy. But Jesse and I were looking at this, and the draft comes, and he's a first-round pick. It's like, this guy's a first-round pick of all the positions, this guy. Now, is Janikowski going to the Hall of Fame? Probably. Maybe not.
I don't know. His longevity alone, maybe.
It's crazy, man. Right? First round pick.
And he was great, though.
Shay, in this era, if someone drafted a kicker, you'd hit the roof.
The Bengals took Evan McPherson in the fifth round. People's heads spun.
Don't forget Roberto Aguayo. The Bucs traded up in the second round to draft him.
That's the one area that fantasy football matches real football. If you draft a kicker in like the first five rounds, you're ostracized. You know, you're called an idiot, whatever. Same thing in the NFL. But he was drafted in the first round. Amazing.
You believe that?
I'm just assuming that was Al Davis's decision.
Yes.
It seems like something he would do.
The old man. Yeah. He was always counterculture, so not a surprise.
Yeah, he was like the Jerry Jones before Jerry Jones,
kind of. Yes.
If you even thought about drafting a kicker in the year 2022 in the first round,
oh my God,
you'd be fired before you pick up the phone in the war room.
Could you imagine that? It would take like a whole hour on First Take.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing. But that's how it was back then. It was amazing. All right, Shay, what else do we have?
I want to ask about Cubs and Sox free agency. The Cubs obviously brought in Dansby Swanson over the weekend. Mm. Meanwhile, the Sox brought in Andrew Benintendi for $75 million. They also brought back fan favorite Billy Hamilton. My question, shot or no shot, neither team did enough.
Well, that's a shot. That's a shot. Now, okay, so... And we'll talk about this in our next hour, Jesse, because I need to talk to you about this long form. Sure. We don't have time here, but... In this segment, I'll just say, if ownership gives you the green light and Crane Kenny goes on the flagship and says, well, I don't know what's going on. Jed was given the green light, and yet this is what you do in the offseason. I don't expect the Cubs to contend this year. I don't expect the Cubs to contend at 23. 24, I expect them to be able to be in the mix, right? But when you have that and it's wide open for everyone to see, this should be in-house, but it's reported by you and so many others that the opportunity to spend is there, mm-hmm. and this is what you do, and you a little bit short. Like Swans, I think Dansby is a good selection, but it's an opportunity for you to be able to fill some holes in that roster. They did not. 35th and Vec, that's a whole different story. That's Rick Hahn sock-splaining his way through it. Trade deadline, I'll never forgive him. He sits there and talks about how hard it was for him to try to find a deal, and he didn't do it. I don't care how hard it was. You ended up being 81-81. And so you got yourself the new Melky Cabrera in left field now, which is great, right? And Benintendi.
He's a good player.
Okay, all right. As was Melky. Okay? Yeah. I mean, but still, yeah. I mean, ultimately, what did you do?
Yeah.
It's about difference makers.
Yeah, I would say shot as well, because unless you're up against that CBT, call me. Call me back. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
When you get there, then we can start saying you've done enough. I'm talking big picture.
Yes.
When you're acting like Steve Cohen and the Padres and the Phillies, then you've done enough.
Yes.
And neither team is anywhere near that, you know, that tax or going past or anything else. Now, do I like Swanson? Do I like Benintendi? I do.
That's fine.
Could Bellinger reclaim it? Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, no, you can't say they've done enough to contend with the World Series other World Series contenders.
No. And we'll talk about that long form, but I just, no, the answer, and of course, this is from a fan standpoint on this side of the table. Yeah, no shot. You did not do enough. Did not do enough. And because when you have markets like San Diego and Dallas, Fort Worth, and Philadelphia, and others, even Cleveland.
Giants gave someone $350. Okay. And I don't know who's right or who's wrong, but I'm just saying, on the basis of the CBT and where other teams spend, by definition, I don't feel like they've done enough.
Well, from a
just by definition.
Well, from a Sox fan standpoint, it feels like, oh, well, we're good. We're going to be better than 81 and 81. We're on our way. So you didn't need to change anything else. You're good.
Well,
no.
I mean, they've added two players, you know, but they subtracted one in Abreu. So are you better? Are you what? I think they're counting on health and Pedro Grifol to wave a wand and things will be better. Now, 2 years ago with this roster, they were pretty good. Yep. But look, within the division is one thing. When you think of the other teams outside the division, that's a whole other thing for both the Cubs and Sox.
Shea.
All right, I want to ask about my guy in movie making, Tom Cruise. He posted a 9-minute video yesterday of behind the scenes from his new Mission Impossible, showcasing what his crew is calling the biggest stunt in cinema history. Cruise rides a motorcycle off of a cliffside, launches himself off of the motorcycle, then transitions into a base jump to the ground. He did this 6 times. Shot or no shot, Tom Cruise is the best stuntman in movie history.
Well, no, but he is crazy. What's the little guy got to prove?
Little guy.
Because he does his own stunts.
Right.
What's he got to prove?
Well, that's a tough one because I can't go through every actor that's done his own stunt. I don't even know if they've done their own stunts, right? But because of that franchise and the things they've done in it, I'm going to say shot in terms of actors doing their own stunts. Someone else might be equal to him, Shea, but not necessarily surpassed him in that category.
It's probably 1A and 1B is Tom Cruise and Jackie Chan.
There you go.
Jackie Chan, right there.
Yeah. There you go.
Keanu Reeves? Daniel Craig?
No shot. I mean, Tom Cruise held onto the side of a plane that was flying in the air. He's going to space. Daniel Craig and Keanu Reeves got to catch up.
But Jackie Chan's right there.
Jackie Chan is right there with him. But what Tom Cruise has done is nuts.
All right, I'm going to say, you convinced me. I'm going to say shot.
Christian Bale. Yelling at people.
It's quite a stunt. Get off my set!
You never dealt with actors, have you?
That's a good one. just yelling at people. Yeah, I mean, Tom got a death wish? Why does that mean? Why is he? He's got nothing to prove. He's Tom Cruise. He's one of the great actors of all time.
He's not exactly risk averse. He will take the risk. There's no doubt about it.
Crazy. All right, coming up, we'll go around the National Football League, some news and notes that you need to know, and also Albert Breer at 8:35 on Cap and Jay Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap or hoodie? I would go with, let's go with hoodie tonight. All right, how about that? We'll go with hoodie tonight.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
But Bert is it.
Every Tuesday at 8:35, we get a chance to talk to Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com. Fresh off a nice, cold fiddle beer, he joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Albert.
Fiddlehead is actually the name of the beer there, Hoodie. And, you'd be surprised at the amount of breweries. I guess it makes sense, but you'd be surprised at the number of great breweries in Vermont, and that's one of them.
How many last night? Just the one on camera?
I had two. I don't know. The first one was a beer called Cloud Candy. I had that with dinner. And then the 12-ounce with you guys at halftime.
It's just the best, man. We love the – you know, your halftime show is way more entertaining than Berman on Monday Night Football.
Thank you. Thank you.
Way
thank
more entertaining. We were talking
– We need to get a sponsor. I need to make some money off of this, you know.
Yeah, Fiddlehead Beer, nice little logo right there in the right corner. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. Hopefully they're listening to us up in Vermont.
We were talking about the Bears and Bills as far as what the weather is going to be like. Now, of course, we just saw the Bills in that snowstorm there, but it's going to be zero wind chill, I think, -9. What's the coldest game that you attended as a fan or as a media member?
Yeah, I think there was, I mean, look, I remember, you remember that couple of years that the Vikings were outside?
Yeah.
There was a, I think it was actually Brett Favre's last game. And that was against the Bears, too, wasn't it? It wasn't like a,
yeah.
It was the defensive end from Northwestern. Wooten, was that his name?
Corey Wooten.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Wooten, yeah, from Northwestern. And I think he was the one who delivered the hit on Favre that basically ended Favre's career, right? Is that right?
Believe so.
And that was a Monday night mm-hmm. in Minnesota. And that actually wouldn't have even been when they were building the stadium. That was after the dome collapsed mm-hmm. in Minnesota, right? And they had to play out. So they used the University of Minnesota stadium because the dome, like, popped in Minnesota. And so, I can remember that one. And I had to be outside basically for, like, 3 or 4 hours straight in the afternoon. Leading up to that Monday night game. And that one, as far as games I've covered, that one was pretty freezing. I wasn't there for the Freezer Bowl when Minnesota was outside. I feel like it's almost underrated how cold it is there. Mm-hmm. Like, I've covered a lot of games in Green Bay. Minnesota, I think Minneapolis is actually colder than Green Bay. Yeah, I mean, you guys are from that region.
Yeah, I believe it.
Closer to Winnipeg. That's probably why I'm from Canada. That's why it was so cold.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think we don't like pay as much attention to Minnesota for obvious reasons because they're inside, you know. But like those couple of years, like that time when they were playing outdoors, I can remember covering games at that stadium in December and January where it was just, I mean, literally like, I mean, you might as well have been in Canada.
Albert, it's like a daily thing here, weekly thing here, trying to get more weapons for Justin Fields. So my big 3 a.m. idea today, and I'm not the only one, is, the Arizona Cardinals are a mess. Maybe they want to move on from DeAndre Hopkins and the Bears could get him. Here's my question, whether it's a right move or wrong move. What would it take to get Hopkins? How far down the round draft pick rounds would the Bears you know, how far could they go to get him? What would it take, you think, at this point in his career?
I'm looking at it now. I'm pulling up his contract now because I haven't looked at it in a little bit. But he's 30 years old, so obviously that depresses his value a little bit. A lot of people feel like he can't, like, and this has been like an ongoing thing with him, but he can't really run, right?
Okay.
Like, so, and I know it sounds funny to say that about an NFL receiver, but that's the way that NFL people talk about these guys. Like, he's just not if you're looking for a burner, like, he's definitely not that. And you almost, the thing about him that's interesting is you have to be fast around him. Like, you have to have other guys that are going to kind of keep teams from playing on top of you. And that was why, like, for example, when, you know, Bill O'Brien was in Houston, they drafted Will Fuller out of Notre Dame because that guy could fly, right? Like, and you see what Arizona has tried to do around Hop. You know, they drafted the kid out of UMass. His name is escaping me, but he could really, really fly. And then obviously they trade for Hollywood. They've tried to be really fast around him, drafted Rondale Moore. So that's the other part of it. So, like, I think for those reasons, and I'm looking at it now, he's on the books for $20 million next year. You know, you add the salary, you add the fact that he's like sort of a specific type of receiver,
mm-hmm.
and you add his age. And I don't know that you'd have to give up all that much to get him. Like, I another piece is, of course, is who's in charge. Like, we don't know who's going to be in charge for them next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't think you'd have to give up a first rounder to get him. And you might not even have to give up a two. So, like, I think he's one of these guys that could be available to somebody in the offseason. Somebody could get a nice deal on him. You know, and I think that that's got to be obviously like such a big part of whatever the Bears do this offseason. I have the benefit of having watched Justin Fields when he had a wealth of weapons around him, and I can tell you, like, he looked like a much different player.
Sure.
When he had a lot of weapons around him at Ohio State, like, they barely. I mean, it's weird because, like, I feel like the people listening have a much different Justin Fields experience than I had. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He barely ever ran at Ohio State. Like,
right.
Rarely,
but he was barely touched, and he had time to throw that deep ball, which he was so good at Ohio State. We've seen none of that.
I mean, I'm just telling you, like, for people who don't watch college football, and, you know, It's almost jarring to watch him play this way, you know, because like they really like, you know, one of the reasons he wanted to go to Ohio State is he wanted to be developed for the NFL, and he felt like Ryan Day could do that. And, you know, like it's like sort of the opposite where at Ohio State, like your first read's always open. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was Chris Olave, and it was Garrett Wilson, right. It was Jameson Williams, it was Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, four first-round picks. And, you know, like, so we never really got to see this version of Justin, and now it's almost the reverse, where you're getting to watch this version of Justin, but, like, the rest of them, the Justin that we saw at Ohio State, you haven't gotten a chance to see yet because the skill talent around him isn't good enough to bring that out.
It'd be great when they combine it, right? Both versions of Justin Fields.
No question about it. All right, coming up next, we'll talk about the Buffalo Bills. How were they built? Why are they this good? We'll ask Albert Breer about that. And also, what's up with the Packers? The Packers win, but can they win out? We talked to Albert Breer about that and more on Cap and Jay Hood.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Now, Courtney Cronin.
Double C.
Bears Insider. And Irish Dancer.
I was an Irish dancer, probably like 10 to like 13.
Takes you into Hallis Hall on Cap'n J. Hood.
With Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood with you. Jesse's in for Cap on the Cap'n J. Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on with the Cubs and White Sox coming up at 9:35. But first, we talk to the homie Courtney Cronin, brought to you by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Courtney, fresh off of Key, J. Will, and Max this morning from 5 to 9 here on ESPN 1000. Courtney, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Here's a question that you won't be asked all day. Okay, so on ESPN.com, the NFL Week 16 Power Rankings, 1 for 32. Now, the theme for this poll this week is pleasant surprises. Pleasant surprises, right? So you got, of course, it's the Bears, so you got to scroll all the way to the bottom. And so you keep going down. It's like, where's Courtney? Where's Courtney? Where's Courtney? Where is she? And there she is, number 27, with the Bears being 3-11. And your pleasant surprise was Braxton Jones. Here's the question. How far do you have to go on the depth roster to be able to find more than Braxton Jones as a pleasant surprise in this team? If it wasn't Jones, who would you go to?
Well, I did it for Jesse. I knew he was hosting with you, Hoodie, and I know that that's his guy. I mean, I feel like Jesse's been on the Braxton Jones hype train since July, or maybe it was even before that. You tell me, Jesse. I just remember we've been talking about him for a while, and he earned that nod because he's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, how many people thought that a fifth-round rookie from an FCS school was going to stick as someone to protect Justin Fields' blind side and not be a constant topic of conversation for the wrong reason?
So if not Jones, you're going Sanborn in that spot?
If I don't go Jones, it's probably Sanborn, but that's the obvious answer here, right? Like, yeah. I'm trying to give you something that you think about cornerstone players. Like, obviously, defensively, there's a couple that you can think of. The two DBs that they drafted this year, Jaquan Brisker, certainly that. Kyler Gordon on his way. He's had some nice moments, especially the interception and the fumble recovery last week. Jalen Johnson's a cornerstone of this team. He continues to cement himself as that, and one of the best young corners in the NFL. Jack Sanborn, and I think on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, you got to think about what Braxton Jones has been tasked with doing this year, and he's played every snap at left tackle and held up remarkably well. And the reason that's important in the larger context is because they're going to have a top two draft pick, and they don't have to, if they don't want to, they don't have to spend the first round pick, whether it's there, whether they trade back, on an offensive lineman. Because I think Braxton Jones, you know, while it never hurts to have more competition, if you're trying to get Peter Skoronski or somebody else in the first round, you're probably missing out on a defensive lineman or maybe a Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, any of those guys, because you'd be focusing on getting a lineman within the top 10, which I don't think you'd have to go at two, certainly. But it's a nice hit for Ryan Poles and his staff to be able to find a needle in a haystack, to find somebody from a small school, a fifth round, day three pick, who's actually played considerably well this year.
I could not agree with you more, not just because I like Braxton Jones. What you just said about Anderson or Carter now, it becomes they sort of become an available option, more available option than maybe you would have thought a few months ago if they had the number two pick. But you also said the phrase tasked with, you know, what he's been tasked to do. And I feel like it's just been like, hey, Braxton, go do your thing. You're going to have some ups and downs. But he's almost been on an island sometimes out there. Not a lot of help at times. And I just feel like he's, like you said, exceeded expectations. He's not going to the Pro Bowl, but exceeding expectations is a nice little start for a rookie left tackle.
Yeah, and I think when we go back to this weekend, those first two sacks that Fields took in the first quarter, the pressure came through the interior, and the pressure came on the interior of between the center and the left guard. I mean, I think you can point to a not-so-great game from Cody Whitehair, and even Matt Eberflus yesterday talked about the need to protect Fields better. It's kind of becoming this broken record, despite the Green Bay game where the pass protection was probably the best it's been all season. The interior is where you're going to focus your efforts on, upgrading the center position, potentially, you know, elsewhere too. And we still don't know about how they're going to handle the right tackle spot. But the outlier is the rookie who's holding down Justin Fields' blind side. And I could see a situation where they use a high draft pick on an offensive lineman because, as the Bears know, you can never have too many. And it's never a bad thing to have more competition at those spots, because it's not like you just have five and you roll with those five. There's always injuries. There's always movement. And this is a team that's preached that they're trying to find the best five of their starting offensive linemen. So even if they did use a day two pick on an offensive lineman, I don't think that necessarily means Braxton Jones would be losing his job by any stretch, especially if it was a tackle. I just think that's good competition for a team. But, like, literally, it was the best case scenario. They've had a lot of best case scenarios pan out on the offensive line with, you know, by getting Riley Reiff on a cheap contract late into the off season and getting him here for training camp, to having Tevin Jenkins pan out at right guard, and then having Braxton Jones exceed expectations at left tackle.
Courtney Cronin with us on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney, how would you describe the feeling for Matt Eberflus after the game against the Eagles? Because for him openly saying that he didn't like fumbling the football from Valus Jones, or talking about coaches, is it him being fed up with losses, or him just trying to hold people accountable? Because I haven't heard him that stern before.
Yeah, and I think that it goes to, you know, that's at this point, you're how many weeks into this? Like, you know, 15 weeks in, 14 games, and a whole off season to get it together. It's not like Valus Jones was out there for the first time in week 15 when he fumbles on, I believe it was the end around. Like, mm-hmm. that's basic fundamental football, to have one hand over the other to protect the football. And I think that that's something that the whole team's grown frustrated with, where Valus Jones keeps getting opportunity. They keep trying to implement him in the game plan, but the reason you see his snap count so low is very clearly that they can't trust him in those situations. And it's not like malintent from him. I just think that he's not coming along at the speed that he had hoped for, and the fact that the team had hoped for him to pan out to be an instant impact player at wide receiver. He just hasn't been that either. But, you know, there were a couple moments I picked up from Sunday's press conference after the game where, I mean, they're talking about, you know, gap integrity is like the number one thing for any defensive player. And the fact that they ended up with two guys in the same gap on the Jalen Hurts 22-yard quarterback keeper where he went unscathed into the end zone, that's a fundamental thing. That's not knowing your alignment and assignment. And I think that as a coach who preaches discipline and, you know, preaching the technique and the fundamental, I know I'm sounding like a coach right now, I'm kind of making myself sick, but like, he preaches these things because in a year where everything is really hard, if you don't get the basics down, then you're in trouble, because it's not, like, this is your chance. Like, there's no pressure on this team at this moment to win games. There's pressure on you to know what the hell you're supposed to be doing and to end up in the right gap on a safety blitz when they're trying to pressure a quarterback in the end zone, because they've seen him run that exact same play multiple times before. So I can understand the frustration from him there, because that's not like it's not a, oh man, we got beat on a by a quarterback on a great play. That's, we got beat by ourselves because we didn't know where we needed to be. So I think that that sort of mounted the frustration for Matt Eberflus. It's not like he was, you know, he's such an even keel guy that it's not like he's getting terse with the media or pushing back on questions. I think he's just very honest at this point that everybody here is on an audition outside of Justin Fields. Like, everybody is trying to earn a job on next year's team for what they're going to build around. And if you do something like that, that just, it's just not a good look for a team that's trying its hardest to learn how to do this the right way with a young group.
Courtney, what are they learning offensively at this point? I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there like, there's nothing left. That's why they want to sit Fields, which I think is crazy. But I thought I heard Eberflus, you know, sort of mention, we got a lot of guys out. Like, what can they learn? I mean, Herbert's out and, you know, the wide receiver issues and all that stuff. I mean, I guess it's still offensive line stuff, but is there sort of anything left to learn these last few games?
I mean, it's the continued development of Justin Fields in the pocket. And, you know, when you're throwing for 150-plus yards a game, it's not a lot. And I do think that they want to see those numbers increase. It's a little difficult, though, when you're playing with one hand tied behind your back when your top four receivers are not playing last week. Well, you know, Mooney's out for the season. Chase Claypool was ruled inactive. N'Keal Harry's back is not completely right yet. And then, of course, losing Equanimeous St. Brown on the fifth play of the game. That puts Fields in a bind. Like, what more can you ask him to do in those situations? And I think it was good because it tested Luke Getsy as a play caller to get David Montgomery involved in the vertical passing game on that touchdown. And it was good for Montgomery because these next couple weeks, you know, we don't know what Ryan Poles' strategy is going to be for regarding running backs. Are they going to try to keep Montgomery here? I wrote about this on ESPN.com this weekend. You know, the 2023 free agent running back class is stacked. Like, it really is. So maybe that gives the Bears an option, if they so choose, to keep David Montgomery on a less expensive extension than one where he goes and resets the market as a top back. He's not bad. He's like eighth in terms of rushing yards of free agent running backs. But I think that those are the sorts of things that you can glean from these final games about guys who are going to be here next year, who's playing a role next year, and in what form and fashion. And to your point, Jesse, you know, the offensive line, let's go to right tackle. Like, we don't know. These Alex Leatherwood, I think, had four pressures and 10 pass blocking snaps this past week. It wasn't great. And when Matt Eberflus was asked about that yesterday, he said, we'll see if they're going to keep rotating. And if they don't, then maybe they feel like they're just not comfortable with Alex Leatherwood playing at that spot. And I just think that those are the things that you look for here when there's three games left. They're vastly injured. Like, we'll find out Wednesday when they practice about Tevin Jenkins and the severity of that back and neck injury, Jack Sanborn, and the others that exited that game with injury.
Courtney, happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Courtney.
Thank you, guys. I'm trying to prepare for the snow. I haven't been to the grocery store yet, so I'm hoping Uber Eats is still functioning on Friday.
Happy holidays to you.
Be well.
You too. Take care.
It is Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN.com, joining us.
She's
on Captain
forced
J-Hood
to go to the cold game on Saturday. We have a choice. She's not. She doesn't.
Yes. I should cover from the couch. She wants to.
Well, that's, I mean, that's like...
That's like what? That's like what?
Like the George Hoffman score.
There's no reason for that.
I'm just kidding, George.
I mean, come on, man. There's no need for a cheap shot during the holidays. Do you have any?
I don't. I don't have any.
Any couth?
I don't have any morals.
You don't have any morals, any couth at all? Leave him alone, for God's sakes. Kiddo, I'm out on the couch. Warm. Coming up, did either the Cubs or Sox do enough?
We'll discuss it coming up next. You're asking me after the break.
Oh, I just thought you were going to chime in with your thoughts.
I'm going to save them.
Oh, how about that? That's coming up next on Cap and J-Hood.